with the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the grilling guy rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grilling Guys show.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, happy Independence Day. I know we're after it, but it still feels like we should be celebrating because it was in the middle of the week, and a lot of you are still got time off. Enjoy it. Get out in the backyard and fire up a grill and create a little envy. You know what, Bob? Made a better life choice. We're going to vary from this hot dog thing we were going to do. We're going to continue talking about beer.
So all that work down the toilet.
I think it's a better choice. So take it away, brother.
We'll do the hot dog segments in the final four minutes. We'll just speed read.
Yeah, it's only tubular meat. We can get it. Yeah.
We did dogs and brats at the grill yesterday, or Wednesday, I think it was,
right.
4th of July. And we were short on brats, and unfortunately, I didn't go to my favorite butcher and get my brats. So I got home, and I didn't have any brats, so I had to go buy the big brand, you know, and they're good, Johnsonville. There's nothing wrong with them. But I had some dogs, and so we're like, more and more people are showing. They're like, what do we need? I could tell everybody to bring hot dogs, Kogel Viennas.
Yeah.
That's what I like.
Right.
It's all about me right now. I'll be at the grill.
Well,
you guys will be
they're
in
your backyard at your pool, your food and drinking your beer. It's all about you.
I'm 96 degrees in front of that Cajun charcoal grill, and I had my deep fryer fired up and did a bunch of French fries. Maureen made a great coleslaw, and I'll tell you, we had a great Independence Day celebration in the water at 96 degrees, I think it was outside. Yeah. But we are making better life choices, Jop, and bringing the Latin from Manhattan was one of those better life choices. So Better Life Choices IPA, atwater.com. Let's talk about that.
Like I said, it's a sleeper in my book. I'm a big IPA guy, or have been for quite a while. You know, my palate varies. I started with whites and Hefeweizens, and then I went to the American craft game when the hops kind of took over across America, and amazing amount of nice beers that are made with different types of hops all over the place. I mean, these guys are getting creative. These brewers these days are getting so creative these days that it's very difficult to find a bad beer these days.
Well, and take a look at M43. There's a classic example, Travis. I mean, you know, that was a rabbit out of the hat, and he can't make it fast enough.
He's done a phenomenal job with that New England IPA, but I'm going to give a plug to one of mine, which is called Street Artists.
Oh.
And we made one, and it's just came out into the market, and it's doing quite well.
That's a New England IPA?
It's a New England style IPA made by Atwater. Very difficult to find in certain places, but it's getting there.
So IPA versus New England style IPA, in a few words, what's the difference?
Well, they're cloudy. They're unpasteurized. They're unfiltered. You have to drink them as fresh as possible.
And they're dry hopped.
Right. And the fact of the matter is, you get a New England style IPA, I would say it's at its finest between up to 6, maybe 9 weeks. And after that, they kind of break down.
It's not one you're going to want to age.
So my question is then, is that in a can and a bottle in the store, or do I have to go to a tap room to get it?
You know, either or. I mean, you see Stone when they come out with their beers, they say best before make it in 3 weeks because of the hop profile. They don't want it to break down to a certain extent. Similar to the New England style IPAs, you know, the longer they'll break down.
Well, and the proof is in why we even have IPAs, because the British dry hop their kegs of beer to ship them to India so they wouldn't spoil.
Right.
That's the IPA. It's a cool story.
India Pale Ale IPA, right. Exactly. So I can look on a can if I'm the consumer. I walk in. I'm in the store. Is there a best buy date on it? I mean, you know, Bud Light got into that a few years ago, and then it just absolutely disappeared. But it sounds like it's a little more legitimate with this New England IPA.
Yeah, it's preferred to drink them as fresh as possible. Most people have date codes on the cans, so you can easily find the freshest ones.
So typically from canning to shelf, what's that? I mean, it's got to vary by manufacturer, I'm sure, or brewer, but...
Oh, listen, some people get beer into the shelves 2 days before they're made. I mean, 2 days after they made it. I mean, they try to get them out as fast as possible, especially, you know, when it's so delicate to get out. But shelf life, yeah, in about a week you get beer on the shelf that's pretty fresh.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah,
it is.
When I was in Puerto Rico, by the way, we shipped Bell's to Puerto Rico, and we literally got it there in 16 days, and that includes the boat. And on the shelf in 16 days, one thing I used to brag about, that we had the freshest beer on the island. And
those stores are hot.
Yeah.
A lot of them aren't air-conditioned, so your shelf life's going to diminish quicker.
Well, no, we have air conditioning in Puerto Rico.
Well,
no,
but
we ship
but
them
the small shop, well, they're not cooling all their beer, are they?
Oh, yeah. There's cold boxes everywhere now these days.
Okay.
Typically, it leaves on a cold container.
Oh,
refrigerated container. Yeah.
Really?
Beer will catch heat stroke on the water out there, 90 degrees.
So. Oh, okay.
So preferred, you know, to keep the freshest intact is to ship it in a refrigerated container.
Yeah, I haven't been to Puerto Rico in 20 years, but I was in the BVI last year, and all those stores were incredibly warm.
Yeah, no, in certain pockets they're pretty warm, but the bigger stores in Puerto Rico, they're all cold boxed and refrigerated.
Mm. And that's the best case for
any
craft
beer.
Yeah.
Keep them chill.
I mean, Coors used to do that.
Right. Ship chill.
It was unpasteurized.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. It was part of the lure. So part of your history that fascinates me is the Unibrew. And you know I'm just a freak about Le Fin du Monde.
Wow, triple fermented golden ale, champagne yeast, champagne effervescence, you know, perfect with cheeses and desserts. But I will tell you this, that I found that beer when I was running a beer distributor in New York for 2 years. I found it in a magazine, and I told my top sales guy, I'm bringing that beer to America. Not only did I bring it to America, last year was voted the number one import beer in the country, La Fin du Monde, but I worked 12 years at that brewery, opened up 33 out of the 46 states that we're currently in. And I hired six out of the eight guys at one time. And it was just a fun dream job.
Well, I think it's just, you know, an incredible profile. It's really a Belgian yeast strain, right?
Absolutely.
And if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys. And it's really the beer guys today because we've got a real expert with us. But we're talking about Le Fin du Monde from Unibrew.
Well, it's not just Le Fin du Monde. It's Mourzit.
Oh, no, yeah.
It's Trois Pistoles. It's Blanche et Chambly. It's the most award-winning brewery, decorated brewery that I've seen in a long time.
But in North America, I think they brew it in Quebec.
They brew it in Montreal, Quebec City, a little town called Chambly, where the English fought the French. So that's why the white called Blanche et Chambly is where the beer is made. Every legend, every beer label at Unibrew is a legend or historical fact.
That's cool.
True story. Oh, it's amazing.
So are they shipping that from there to England? Just be thumbing your nose. Sorry. Let's talk hot dogs.
That boat doesn't float, buddy. Anymore.
So tell us about some other great choices from Atwater.
Well, you know, a brand that's on fire for us is our mango wheat called Wango.
And, I've had that.
Yeah, and it's really an amazing beer. I've just done a couple of shows, and people just gravitate to it. It's our seasonal, but there's three other Wangos. There's going to be a raspberry coming out, and usually they follow it up with a Citra Wango.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure we're going to get to that one this year. We're just so busy brewing. And then, again, Vanilla Java Porter. Right now there's a release called Coconut Cream Java Porter, which is out right now. But there's a variant coming out in the fall that you'll find in every single Myers. It's called a variant Java Porter series, which has Bavarian cream, coconut, raspberry, and the regular one. So be looking out for that in the fall for the holidays.
So you just went through a litany of styles and profiles. In the next segment, what I'd like you to do is tell us where you think the beer business is going. Where we are here in West Michigan, we're called Beer City USA, whether it's self-proclaimed or there was some award bestowed upon us. At the end of the day, we like to think that we know a lot about beer here, but for a guy that's as well-traveled as you, I'd like your impression on where you think this is going. So you're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Stick with us. We'll be back.